You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You are listening to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill. Good to have you with us ahead of a European midweek with seven games previewed on this podcast. It's Dave Kalner here alongside the host of the European Football Podcast, Alex Dunn, to look at the European fixtures. So it's apt that you're in the studio this Monday afternoon, Alex.
Hello, David. You'd think I have a certain expertise in that area. Think being the operative word there. But now, fingers crossed, we can have a few winners here. There's some really intriguing games. And obviously with all of these sides having played each other so recently, quite a bit of sort of, not head-to-head form, but at least you can look at how that game panned out. Could be a similar story. Some pretty interesting prices, though, coming up.
We've got revenge matches, haven't we, in a few situations. Let's do these in chronological order, then. We'll start with the Tuesday night matches and Ludogorets versus Arsenal first up. Ludogorets 17-2 to win the match here with William Hill. The draw is 9-2 with Arsenal 1-3. Claudio Caceru to score and Ludogorets to win was 14-1. That's been enhanced to 20s. Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win was 7-5. And now 2-1. Of course, Mesut Ozil got the hat-trick in the reverse fixture at the Emirates. And Arsenal still haven't been beaten since the opening day of the season when they lost out 4-3 to Liverpool. Won this fixture 6-0 at home. I suppose many people will think it'll be a similar scenario here, and they are priced prohibitively, Arsenal, 1-3 to win the match. Will they find it as easy going to Bulgaria and winning as they did at the Emirates?
It won't be as easy, definitely not. Ludogorets are good. They're not a good side in the context of European competition as a whole, but they're by far the best team in Bulgaria. I know that's not saying much, but they are okay at home. They're really not that bad. That said, I do expect Arsenal to go here and win. The 1-3 is what it is. It's okay. It's all right. It's not the worst. We saw PSG go to Ludogorets and fall behind. They came back to win 3-1, but the home side had a penalty on that occasion. That's when PSG were priced up at a pretty similar price to what Arsenal will be on Tuesday evening. Arsenal, you look at their results recently in the Premier League and go, wow, they're in great form. They've managed to do this without really playing incredibly well in a lot of games. They've scraped in through a few, the likes of Swansea at home, Burnley away really does spring to mind there. Even, say, against Sunderland at the weekend, on paper, a 4-1 is home and hosed. But, of course, there were three very late goals there that managed to get them in front. So, yes, I think Arsenal will go here and win. No, it will be nowhere near as easy as the first game. It's just trying to find that bit of value, really, isn't it? Because, I mean, even you look at Giroud and you'd say, right, I think Giroud will come into the team here. You know, he's been a bit part player so far this season. I think he'll come in. He scored against Sunderland. Great. What price is he? Well, he's 3-4 to score any time. It's very short for a player who, you know, he's not the most lethal strike you've ever seen. He just missed quite a few before he does score. So, again, looking for value. And I think the value lies with Arsenal to win and under 2.5 goals.
Okay.
I just think if they are going to win, well, I think they will win, but I think it's quite likely to see a 1-0 or a 2-0 here. I don't think they'll be going hell for leather trying to knock Ludogorets for 6 again. And compared to Arsenal to win an over 2.5 goals, which is 4-6.
Yes.
I thought it was worth a look here. I do fancy them to keep a clean sheet, so the Arsenal win to nil also has to be respected. But I can't see Arsenal really running riot here. Ludogorets, it's seldom they get completely embarrassed at home. I don't think they will. I think Arsenal will get the better of them, but only just. And that 3-1's big, I think.
I'm going with Arsenal to win and both teams to score in the match, okay, which is 9-5. And the reasoning behind that is, you mentioned Ludogorets, their form domestically. They've scored 13 goals in their last three since conceding 6 against the Gunners at the Emirates. And in their last 4 Champions League home games, all 4 this year, this calendar year, they've won 3 and lost 1, but they've scored in all 4 of those. So, decent side at home. I think Arsenal will win, definitely. But I like Arsenal to win and both teams to score at 9-5, and you're going with Arsenal in the under.
Yeah, of course, we've both sort of given healthy respect to Ludogorets there and managed to come up with 2 different outcomes. But I just think it will be a lot tighter than the traders have made it, if you like. I say that. I do like the 1-3 on Arsenal. I just don't think there's going to be masses and masses of goals. We're certainly not going to see another 6-0.
Manchester City versus Barcelona is the feature match on November the 1st, Tuesday, November the 1st. 7:45 kickoff. Manchester City 9-5 to win this game. The draw 5-2 with Barcelona 6-4. Enhanced odds, Sergio Aguero to score and Man City to win was 3-1. That's been enhanced to 4-1. You've got Luis Suarez to score and Barcelona to win, which is 3-1. It was 23-10. And Lionel Messi to score and Barca to win was 13-5. Now 7-2. Kevin De Bruyne to score. Man City 1-0, 2-0, 2-1. Was 10-1, now 11-1. And Lionel Messi to score and Barca to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. Was 7-1, now 8-1. Reading through those five enhanced odds offers, I'm thinking all of them look attractive. If you fancy one side or the other, those are the marquee players. They're all involved in those enhanced odds offers.
The thing that strikes me about this game is just value. And yeah, you mentioned it there, but whichever way you want to go, you will find value here. And, right, for example, Man City at home. The last time Man City were this big a price at home was in this competition against PSG at the end of last season.
Right.
They won 1-0 on that occasion. But my point being, they are normally pretty short at home.
Yep.
If you're looking at them at home and getting 9-5, there is going to be some people out there going, wow, that is big. Similarly, Barca, away from home, have not been as big as this whole calendar year. So, whichever way you're looking at it, you're going to be tempted. On paper, I look at Barca and I go, that 6-4 is
too big.
It is too big. But then I look at what happened in the game a few weeks ago, and they weren't very good. And Man City were okay. The head-to-heads, normally in European competition, you can go, head-to-heads don't really matter. They don't play each other that often. But Barca and Man City keep going up against each other, and Barca keep winning. Mm. That 4-0 was the first time that they've really stuffed them. And as we've already mentioned, with Bravo getting sent off, there were sort of mitigating circumstances with that. I said I like Barca at 6-4, but City and both teams to score at threes is another one that you look at, you just go, well, if City are going to win, that's how they'll do it. You could almost pack both, I suppose. City and both teams to score and Barca, but then you probably end up with a draw. So
I see this as a game that really revolves heavily around the situation, with Barcelona top of the group and clear, and having not humiliated Manchester City at the Camp Nou, because, as you mentioned, it was a lot tighter than the eventual 4-0 scoreline suggested. But revenge is going to be on Pep Guardiola's mind here, and I think that's a big factor in this match. And Barcelona haven't looked incredible recently. Only won 1-0 against Granada at the weekend. And Luis Enrique did comment after that match about his team lacking physical sharpness in that game. And maybe they are slightly fatigued at the moment. I like the enhanced odds offer of Sergio Aguero to score and Manchester City to win. Enhanced from 3-1 to 4-1. I think Guardiola, if he could have his time back again, wouldn't have left Aguero out of that starting lineup in the Camp Nou, because he is still in the top five strikers in the world, Aguero, and every time you've got him fit, you've just got to start him. And he showed at the weekend in that 4-0 win at the Hawthorns that he is just sensational. And I fancy him to score. And I think, given the situation, revenge on Manchester City's mind, I think they can win 4-1.
I think when you look at Barca's, the back four that played against Granada at the weekend as well, and there may be changes, but they played Digne, Umtiti, Mascherano and Roberto. That is a back four that you can get at. It is. Yeah. And then you look at the players in front of them. And again, this is just at the weekend. I'm not saying that they're going to keep the same team by any means, but Rafinha, Rakitic and Denis Suarez, they're good, but I wouldn't say it's the best midfields I've ever seen. I'd even go as far as to say, I think I'd rather have City's midfield. Okay. I know they play different systems now, or slightly different. The difference is Neymar, Suarez and Messi.
Yes.
Versus hopefully Aguero, and hopefully a fully fit and firing Aguero, because that could be a spectacle.
And Kevin De Bruyne as well. I think
exactly.
They need him fully fit, don't they?
They do.
They look a better side with him in it.
But I know that I started this by saying Barca are big at 6-4, but I am going to tip City and both teams to score at threes. It's just, in fact, 16-5 now.
Yeah.
It's just too big to ignore. Mm. But I do think we'll see plenty of goals at the Etihad. And it hopefully, will be an absolute cracker, because it's one of those ones that on paper should be. I just hope it lives up to it.
I'm looking forward to it. Over 3.5 goals in the game as well. 5-4 over 3.5 goals in the match. And Manchester City are 9-5 to win it. The draw 5-2. Barcelona in the betting at 6-4. Borussia Mönchengladbach take on Celtic on Tuesday night as well. Again, 7:45 kickoff. And Borussia Mönchengladbach are 1-2 to win the game. The draw 100-30 and Celtic 6-1. We do have 5 enhanced odds offers on the William Hill website and available on the app as well. Let me break these down. Rafael Catano to score and Mönchengladbach to win was 13-10. Now 6-4. Mönchengladbach to score over 1.5 in the first half was 11-4, enhanced to 100-30. Moussa Dembélé to score and Celtic to win was 15-2, now 10-1. Rafael Catano to score, Mönchengladbach to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. Was 5-1, now 6-1. And Scott Sinclair to score, Celtic to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. Was 18s, it's 20s here with William Hill. One stat that stood out to me when looking through the Opta statistics ahead of this match: Celtic have lost 26 of their 28 Champions League games away from home and have never kept a clean sheet, which is an illuminating stat. Maybe not a surprising one, Alex.
No, I must confess, when you look at this, the prices, I looked at Gladbach and thought, that's a bit short, to be honest.
Yes.
And then you look at the form and you delve into, you know, what both teams have to play for.
They've been backed as well, actually. They were 8-15 earlier on in the day.
And they'll win this. They will. And like I said, initially you're thinking, 1-2 maybe isn't the best. I can probably find better 1-2s out there. Well, I've said that, and then I've looked, and I'm so sweet on Gladbach now. It is ridiculous. As you said, Celtic away from home in the Champions League, pretty poor. You might be thinking, right, well, you know, maybe they could cause them some problems. Well, they played each other a couple of weeks ago at Celtic Park, and Mönchengladbach won that one 2-0, and I cannot see any other result than a Mönchengladbach win here. I just can't. I just don't think Celtic have got enough. They let far too many goals in. They've let 12 in their 3 games so far. Granted, that involves a 7-0 against Barca, but they let 3 in at home to Man City. The big crusher for them was losing this game.
Well, I fancied them. That's why they went down. Well, I thought Moussa Dembélé, I'd seen Moussa Dembélé. I think he's a fantastic player, Moussa Dembélé. And I'm looking at that enhanced odds offer for him to score in a Celtic win, albeit it is
10-1 from 15-2.
Yeah, it's a big enhancement, but I don't think they will win. I'm with you. But I thought in that reverse fixture, Celtic at home coming on the back, this Champions League match coming on the back of that unbelievable performance against Manchester City, they would be able to harness the atmosphere and produce a big-time performance, and it didn't materialise at all.
The fact that they couldn't do it at home,
yes.
Why on earth would they do it away?
Yeah, I have no idea.
I just can't see it. So I think Mönchengladbach are well-worthy favourites. I think they probably deserve to be as short as they are, even though I didn't like it massively to start with. I don't think it's unforeseeable that Celtic do score. But as you said, they don't keep clean sheets away from home in the Champions League. They've already conceded twice against Gladbach. I think they'll concede at least twice once again. So even if they are to score, I don't think it's... I still think they'll lose, to be honest. I do like Dembélé anytime at twos if you are looking for an anytime goal scorer in this match, including Gladbach players. I would still make Dembélé the pick at the price, if you like.
Yeah.
But ultimately, there's one bet that I really liked here, and it's Gladbach to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1.
Right.
So it's the correct score.
Group betting.
And I just think Gladbach will win, quite simply. I don't think they're going to run riot. They're not going to score 3 or 4. They'll score 1 or 2, and they may let one in. That's all of those. It's perfect, Dave.
Yeah.
And the 2-1's okay on that.
One player that I do like is Lars Stindl, the Mönchengladbach skipper here. He's been involved in 5 of Mönchengladbach's last 7 Champions League goals, scoring twice, assisting 3 times, and he scored in the reverse fixture at Celtic Park. Lars Stindl to score any time and Mönchengladbach to win 17-10.
I think as well, this game has massive significance for Gladbach. Let's just say they win this, okay?
Yes.
And City lose against Barca. whether they will or not is neither here nor there right now, but just theoretically, that puts Gladbach in a position where they know if they can beat Man City at home on the final group game,
yep,
they will go through.
Mm.
That's assuming that City beat Celtic and, you know, that Gladbach don't get horrendously tonked at Barca, and there's plenty of variables. But if Gladbach win this, they really do put pressure on City. So you can look at it that way. You can also look at it as if Gladbach are going to bow out of this competition, a win or even a draw here, realistically, means that they are guaranteed a Europa League spot at the expense of Celtic. But they'll be looking to put pressure on City here. If they win and City don't win against Barca, it puts them above them. Yes, City have then got Celtic at home and Gladbach away, and Gladbach have got that tricky game against Barcelona, the Nou Camp. But there's no reason why they can't do it. So, look, I'm keen on Gladbach. I think they can give City something to worry about, but they will do that by getting the better of Celtic. They won't hammer them, but I do like that correct score trebled 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 in the group betting.
On to Wednesday night, and FC Copenhagen hosting Leicester City. FC Copenhagen are 13-10 to win the match. The draw is 23-10, with Leicester City also 23-10. Enhanced odds, Andreas Cornelius to score and FC Copenhagen to win was 13-5, now 7-2. Cornelius to score, Copenhagen 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 was 11-2, now 6-1. And Islam Slimani, who's made an impact in this competition this season already, him to score and Leicester to win was 9-2, now 6-1. And Slimani to score, Leicester to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 was 17-2, now 9-1. That loss at the King Power for FC Copenhagen was their first in 24 matches. And subsequently, they've picked up maximum points domestically, winning all three of their games. And they've scored some goals in the process as well, FC Copenhagen. They were unlucky, I thought, the King Power. Watched that game and they handled Leicester's physicality admirably for the most part. They were coping with their direct style of play. Leicester did play a lot of long ball, even more than I thought. And Solbakken, the FC Copenhagen manager, commented on that in the aftermath. He said he couldn't believe how direct Leicester City were. I thought they were a shade unlucky to get beaten in that game 1-0.
To a point, but they're a horrible price here.
FC Copenhagen?
I think so.
Yeah?
I'm going to put this one forward as the third worst price on this week's punt, and that's purely because there's two absolute stinkers to come.
Okay.
I really like Leicester here.
Do you?
I really do.
I don't at all.
I think so far a lot has been made of their Champions League form versus their Premier League form.
Yes.
On the road in the Premier League, they've been pretty poor, although it was a decent point at Spurs at the weekend.
Yeah.
But they went to Bruges and won. The way that they play, I think it really just set them up well in the Champions League away from home. And yes, you look at Copenhagen's home form and it is scintillating. They just don't drop points. But the Danish league is bobbins. It really is. And Copenhagen, for the last couple of years at least, haven't even been dominating that league like they used to. Yes, they are better than they have shown in recent years. This season, they've been pretty good. But no, not for me. Leicester are a massive price here. They really are. Now, for me, a lot depends on... but incidentally, the 23-10 on Leicester, yes, I would take it, but I think there is better value to be had.
Okay.
I think a lot depends on who plays for Leicester. Does Ranieri go, do you know what? Even if we lose this, there's a high chance we can go through. Maybe rest a few.
That's my concern with supporting Leicester City here. I just think it's a very, very similar shape to this group as the group that Manchester City are in. And that's why I think that, you know, Barcelona being 5 points clear in that group, it's such a similar scenario where they don't need to win. Leicester City don't need to win this game.
Maybe not, but they've not let a goal in yet. They know that a win will put them through. And we've seen last season, we'll talk about Leicester in the Premier League last season again, but when they pick momentum up, they're hard to stop. And it's a similar bunch of players this season. A lot depends on who plays up front as to where my money would go. Slimani, a little bit of a doubt with the groin injury. And they have rotated. I mean, you look at the six striking players, if you like. Some will play on a wing, but Slimani, Vardy, Mahrez, Okazaki, Ojoa and Musa have all had little bits of game time here and there. Wouldn't surprise me if any of them, a combination of those players play.
Yeah.
But Vardy, for me, 23-10. He's not, I mean, that as good this season, but I think his pace on the break could really trouble Copenhagen here. He'd be my best bet at 23-10, but I do like Leicester as well at the same price to win. I'm certainly looking pro Foxes here against, yes, a Danish side that are good at home, and there's sometimes in European competition, you have to look at the home form of the side that are at home, and you'll go, you know what, pretty good. Copenhagen, for me, their home form is fantastic, but it's against a calibre of opposition that your Monday night football club could beat, Dave.
And no, we're terrible.
No.
We're terrible.
Well, okay, but you get my point.
Yeah, I get your point. I'd be with Riyad Mahrez. Got to be for me at 11-4 for him to score any time. He's been directly involved in four of Leicester's five Champions League goals so far, scored three times and got an assist. He's saving his best. He's not playing to his absolute peak in the Premier League because he knows that this is the world stage, if you will, and if he's going to get a big move away in the summer, it's going to come through highlighting his credentials in this competition. So I like Riyad Mahrez to score any time at 11-4 if you're looking for a Leicester bet, but we're at loggerheads there because I think Copenhagen will win this game at 13-10.
Absolutely not a hope.
Tottenham versus Leverkusen, also Wednesday night, 7:45. Tottenham even money to win the match. The draw is 13-5. With Leverkusen in the market at 14-5. Enhanced odds, Dele Alli to score, and Tottenham to win was 14-5, now 4-1. Vincent Janssen to score, Tottenham 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1, 15-2, enhanced to 8-1. Javier Hernandez is the focus of the enhanced odds offers, if you like, Leverkusen in this match. Him to score and Leverkusen to win was 9-2, now 6-1, and him to score and Leverkusen 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 has been enhanced from 8-1 to 9-1. Mauricio Pochettino has openly admitted he can't remember a spell in his managerial career as tough as this with his Spurs team without a win in their last five matches. Does include a 0-0 draw with Leverkusen in Germany, but it must be remembered that this game is taking place at Wembley, and I think Spurs are way too short in the market here.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
We've already seen Spurs struggle at Wembley. That was in the first game. Seems like so long ago, but they lost to Monaco.
Yeah.
That is going back quite a while now. That, of course, was in
September.
14th of September. Yeah. So you can't just ignore that, though. You can make your home ground a fortress, and when you get moved, it's like, Dave, it's like me saying, right, this is your bedroom. You're comfortable with it, right? Dave, I'm kicking you out. Go in the spare room and try and be as wonderfully productive as you are for this company as you can be. and you wouldn't be as good. Fact.
That is
now,
a fact.
Wembley, of course, I think it's key that White Hart Lane is so tight to the players. And it really is. You get a good atmosphere there. And it's such a different environment at Wembley. Wembley's so open, so potentially so quiet at times.
Yep.
The pitch is massive as well. This is like a sort of glorified away game for Spurs, as far as I'm concerned.
Visiting teams as well, it's the enormity of the occasion going to Wembley rather than going to White Hart Lane. Wembley's a ground steeped in history, and going there for a European club, it's huge for them, and they're going to raise their game performing at Wembley, and that's a negative for Spurs.
I do quite like Leverkusen at 14-5, but I just cannot see many goals in this game. Spurs, obviously, while Harry Kane has been out, they've tried a few different things. Vincent Janssen so far has been underperforming massively, or maybe he's just not very good, but he hasn't been what they expected. Son has been given a go up front, and he's done well. But, of course, do I really want to be looking at midfielders to break through here? Ali hasn't been quite as good as he was last season. They've got plenty of talented players, but I just can't see them scoring many here. Yeah. You look at Leverkusen, you mentioned Javier Hernandez. He is a player who obviously has to be massively respected, but he's 17-10 to score any time. That's not colossal. Calhanoglu, another one, 14-5, tempting, but for me, Dave, and people don't like it, but back unders on the goals here. because I think it's going to be tight and trappy. The 10 to 11 on under 2.5 rates banker material as far as I'm concerned.
It's a bigger price than I thought it would be.
I would happily take that. I would happily take under 1.5 at 11 to 4. I'd even look at the nil-nil, to be honest, because it's just one of those things that, yes, it happened in the first leg. Will it happen again? Well, it's 10 to 1. It might not be what people want to hear, that, you know, oh, I think this one's going to be dull. But I cannot see there being many goals. Under 1.5, I would happily play at 11 to 4. Under 2.5 rates, borderline that material for me this week.
A quick note on that first match as well in Leverkusen. Spurs were good in the first half, but second half, they didn't have a shot on target. And Leverkusen had 13. Mm. And Javier Hernandez forced that world-class save from Hugo Lloris. And I know you mentioned Hernandez as price, not really attractive at 17-10, but he has scored 7 goals in his last 10 Champions League starts.
And I think if Leverkusen are going to score, he's by far the most likely outlet. But as I've said, if I think there's going to be a maximum of 1, maybe 2 goals in this game at most, do I really want to be backing any time goal scorers? Not personally. If you are that way inclined, I would go with him. But I just see it being boring, boring Tottenham. Not Arsenal this time. Boring, boring Tottenham.
On to the Europa League. Fenerbahce versus Manchester United is the 6 p.m. kickoff on Thursday. And Fenerbahce are 11-5 to win this match. They draw 12-5 with Manchester United 13-10. At the enhanced odds, Robin van Persie to score and Fenerbahce to win was 4-1, now 6-1. Him to score, Fenerbahce to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. Was 7-1, now 8-1. Paul Pogba to score and Manchester United to win. Remember, he scored twice in Manchester United's 4-1 win against Fenerbahce at Old Trafford. Him to score in a Manchester United win was 4-1, now 6-1. And Marcus Rashford to score, Manchester United to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1, was 13-2, now 7-1. It's difficult to determine what's worse at the moment, Jose Mourinho's mood or Zlatan Ibrahimovic's finishing, Alex, because he's gone 6 league games without a goal now. And Tom Heaton was outstanding in that 0-0 draw with Burnley, but it's Burnley and he had some gilt-edged opportunities and didn't take them. And Mourinho's meltdown's coming 24 months early, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a strange one. I still think he will, I say, turn things round. They're not having the worst season. They're really not. And I know that people go, oh, well, if this was Van Gaal, everyone would be straight away on his back, or Moyes, or whatever. They've not been that bad at times. At times they have been pretty smelly, admittedly. but that said, I cannot back them here. Absolutely no chance at that price.
No.
It's massively unappealing. Fenerbahce is a tough place to go to. You see all the time, and it's almost stereotypical, but Turkish sides at home in European competition, they're hostile. They make it difficult for you to go there. I can't back Man U at that price. Things people will be interested in here, Van Persie anytime, obviously landed in the other game, and people will be tempted by that. That's 9-5. It's a bit of a mug's bet for me, and I'm not mad keen on it. But again, you know the threat that he poses for Fenerbahce. What I do like, and you mentioned him there, is Ibrahimovic to score. Now,
do you really?
I do.
I don't think he'll play. You've got to wait until the starting lineup's announced. Obviously, you would anyway with a goal scorer bet. But
yeah, that is the thing for me. Yeah. But you don't know who is going to play. If he does, 17-10 is really big on him. It is, and I do think Manu can go there and score. But maybe not more than once. So maybe back in to score first if he does start at 5. So I don't mind him. But it's another game where I think unders are probably the way to go here. I can see it being fairly tight, fairly cagey, probably plenty of cards. Under 1.5 was 12-5, under 2.5, 8-11. Not as confident a pick as some of the other ones that I've put up on this podcast, but I think it's a really tricky one to call. I think this is probably the game of all games where team news is most key, because Man U have got quite a lot of players that are underperforming so far this season, and it's whether they play the ones that are performing in a game like this, where maybe they don't need to. I know that when you look at the table, you go, well, hang on, they won't want to lose this. But they'll still have enough to go through. I just could not back them at that price, away from home, at a place where it's incredibly tough to go. So, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, Fenerbahce are the play if you are looking for an outright. I don't mind Ibrahimovic. if starting to score at any time. But I'd probably take it to be pretty tight.
Yeah, I like Fenerbahce a lot here. I think Fenerbahce are a very, very good price at 11-5 to win this game over 2-1. Unbeaten in the last five home games in the Europa League, winning 4 and drawing 1. And this stat comes from Opta. If you exclude the qualifiers, Manchester United haven't won away in Europe since November 2013, which is a hellish run, really. They've lost 7 and drawn 1 since then. So I think Fenerbahce, very good price. Mourinho's down in the dumps at the moment. His team aren't playing that well. 11-5 Fenerbahce to win the game would be definitely my bet, and maybe my best bet of the midweek football fixtures. On to Southampton versus Inter Milan, which is 8:05. Southampton 8-11. The draw 13-5. Inter Milan 9-2. Charlie Austin to score and Southampton to win was 9-5. Now 5-2. Mauro Icardi to score and Inter Milan to win was 13-2. That's been enhanced to 8-1. Inter Milan won the reverse fixture, beating Southampton 1-0 in the San Siro. They only had one shot on target in that game, and Southampton were much the better of the two sides. They've lost 4 of their last 5 European games in England. Inter Milan, not a vintage Inter side by any stretch of the imagination, and that's showing up in Serie A as well.
Yeah, not a vintage side, but they're still not bereft of ability. There is something there. It's just how on earth do you get it out on a consistent basis? Because that's the issue that they have. They are so inconsistent. They are an absolute nightmare for punters. An absolute nightmare. They currently sit in 11th, but they have it in them to go anywhere and win. On their day, they can give anyone in Serie A a game, and I include Juventus in that. They can go to some of the better teams in the Europa League and put up a fight. So I have a sort of rule in my head that I cannot back into Milan or AC Milan, while we're at it, you Milanese. I cannot back them when they are favourite.
Okay.
Just a rule that I have, yep. Because you get let down more often than not. But when they are outsiders, and such colossal outsiders here as well, then they start to get interesting because they are that kind of wild card.
Yep.
That can do anything. I thought this price was colossally disrespectful to Inter. Let's not forget, they did win that first game. They weren't great, but they won. They're so inconsistent that any recent form has to be completely ignored. You know, that you just don't know what you're going to get with them. But as such, that 9-2 is sort of like a fantastic maverick price because, yeah, if they lose, then it's like backing any other 9-2 shot if they're going to get stuffed.
You look like a hero as well, don't you, in the aftermath?
I think they're well worth a look here.
Yeah?
I couldn't back Southampton at 8-11. Southampton are very good at home. We know that. We know you know exactly what you're getting with Southampton. They're pretty solid. But I don't want to back them at 8-11 here at all. At all. Inter at 9-2 is by far the best price that you're going to get across this whole week in Europe, in my opinion. That 9-2 is massive. And you don't have to play the 9-2. You can back Inter plus a goal. So you've got the draw on your side as well at even money. Mm. Or Inter draw no bet at 11-4. I don't like Inter as a team. I just don't. But at 9-2, they deserve so much more respect than that. And let's face it, Southampton are no European powerhouse just yet. They're a solid side that are good at home. Inter are worth a play here.
They were beaten at home, of course, at the weekend as well.
They were.
By a good Chelsea side. A rejuvenated Chelsea side, 2-0.
But, again, that just goes to show that Southampton at home are not absolutely dominant.
Yes.
8-11, I think, if you're going to back a side here at 8-11, you'd need them to be completely, utterly ruthless at home, take all of their chances, and be coming up against some duffers. Inter Milan, whichever side they put out, they're not going to be completely useless. They're not bankers by any means. They just deserve to be one heck of a lot shorter than they are this week. And interestingly, again, if we'll be waiting on team news, because Icardi would, of course, be interesting if he plays. I think Charlie Austin's also interesting, but the price at 11-8 isn't very good. Bufal is the one that I'd go for at 19-10. If you are looking for a goal scorer bet here.
I like him.
He's shown bits of promise, and he's being cleverly introduced to the team. They're not sticking him in and going, right, perform. They're just biding the time with him. I think that will reap dividends in the long term. So if you are looking for a goal scorer, I would side with him. But And like I said, I'm not saying that Southampton won't score in this game, because I think they could, but Inter at the price are just too big.
Okay, have you got a best bet in the matches we've talked about, 7 of them in total?
I do. I love any pro Gladbach bet.
Yeah.
But I couldn't find anything that was stunning value in that. I like the unders in the Spurs game, but that's really boring. So I'm going to go with Inter. Draw no bet at 11-4.
I'm going to go with Fenerbahce to beat Manchester United at 11-5 as my best bet. Remember, you can follow myself and Alex both on Twitter, at dkellner and at alexdunn0307. Do follow William Hill on Twitter as well, at willhillbet. You can download all our podcasts via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. Catch us on iTunes as well. And if you've got any bets, do tweet them through to myself and Alex, and we'll at least favourite them at the very least, and we can maybe stimulate some conversation via Twitter as well. Alex, thank you for your company.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in to the midweek edition of the Punt Podcast, and we'll be back this weekend to preview the Premier League. It will be myself alongside Tom Kerwin and Derek McGovern, the regulars on the Weekend Punt Podcast, so make sure you tune in then. If you're having a bet on any of the European football this midweek, the very best of luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with 4 or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.